We're glad again to be here from Partick Free Church of Scotland, continuing. Just out on this beautiful day that God has given to us, that we might bring to your attention something of the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to bring you something from the Word of God. We realize that today many people are somewhat ignorant of Christianity. They don't go to a place of worship, and therefore they don't hear the Bible being read, and they don't hear any sermons, and they may well be very, very ignorant about the central message of Christianity. So what is the message of Christianity? The message of Christianity is that we are sinners by nature. We're sinners by nature and sinners by practice. And because of our sin, the wrath of God is upon us. And God has said one day He will judge us. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in the body according to that he has done, whether it is good or bad. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. That's why we're out here this afternoon, to make you aware of your condition by nature, your plight, that you are sinners in the sight of God, and that one day He will take you to account for your sins. But there is a way of escape, and that way of escape is only found in Jesus Christ the Lord, only Him alone. He's the one, the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, who came down to this earth and suffered and died. He suffered and died in order that He might be punished in the room and place of sinners. That's the essential message of Christianity. Christ died as a substitute. He was no criminal, yet He suffered a most horrendous death, a horrible death. He was cursed of God on the cross. Why did this happen? Because He was being a substitute. He was suffering in the room and place of sinners. He was being punished in their place. He Himself was sinless. He did nothing wrong. Never. He lived a perfect life. Perfect life. But He suffered and died in the room and place of sinners. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, read it for yourself when you get home, 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and 12, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Therefore, we are told in this verse that God has given to us eternal life in and through the Lord Jesus. But we don't get it automatically. We must believe upon Him. We must receive Him for ourselves. We must believe upon Christ. That's why we're out here this afternoon, to tell you something about Him, to preach Him, to proclaim Him. We're not proclaiming ourselves. We're not telling you rules and regulations. We're telling you something about the Lord Jesus, that you might put your faith and hope and trust upon Him. This is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Eternal life is only to be found in the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Tells us in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 45, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And that's a reference to Christ. That's not a reference to a preacher or a religious leader. That's a That's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and to what He's done on Calvary's tree. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There is none else that can save you. There is none else that can prepare you for glory. There is none else that can take you to heaven. I'm sure as you pass by here this afternoon or as you're standing around, ultimately you might think to yourself that when your days are over, when it's time for you to pass into eternity, you think to yourself that you will get to heaven. You have a good hope. You think that you will get to heaven. How will you get to heaven? What will be your hope? Why should you get to heaven? Why should I get to heaven? Because the Bible tells us we're all sinners. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we're sinners, none of us deserves to be in heaven. How then can we be saved? The only way that we can be saved is to have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's the only way. That's why it says in the Bible, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. None else. No one else can save. No one else can deal with our great problem. What is our great problem? What is your great problem? Our great problem is the problem of our sin. We are sinners by nature, the Bible tells us. Tells us things that are unpleasant for us, that do not flatter us, that will not make us proud. But nevertheless, we need to hear them. What is it that we're sinners? There is none righteous, no, not one, the Bible says. None righteous, no, not one. We've all like sheep, we've all gone astray. We're all guilty in the sight of God, all of us. How can we get rid of this guilt? How can we deal with this sin problem? Many people think that they can deal with their sin problem by becoming religious. Well, religion will never save anyone. It cannot do it. Impossible. Many people think they'll be saved by their good works. They will acknowledge that they're not perfect. They will acknowledge that they have sinned. But they think that their good works will outweigh their bad works. Somehow they think that on the day of judgment, God will take account of their good deeds, and their good deeds will outweigh their bad deeds. And therefore they think they will be gain entrance into heaven by their good works. Do you know what the Bible says about human good works? It says they are filthy rags in the sight of God. Let us not think for one moment that by our good works that we'll get to heaven. Again, this is something that distinguishes Christianity from every other religion. Every other religion tells us that we are to work our way to heaven. We're to do this. We're to do that. And somehow God will be pleased with us. But Christianity teaches something totally different. Christianity teaches us that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their sins to them. You see, God came down in Christ to do something. That's what makes Christianity and the message of the cross unique. Absolutely unique. That's why you need to hear it, because this unique message is the only way that you can be in heaven. By believing this message of the cross, is the only way that you will ever be found in heaven. It is believing upon Jesus Christ, that one who suffered and died, as a substitute. The one who has suffered in our place. The one who was condemned by God. Yes, friends, that's what it means. And however foolish it might seem to the world, the Bible would teach us that the message of the cross is both the wisdom and the power of God. God did something glorious when Christ died in a room and place. And this is the message of the Bible. And this is the message of Christianity. This is the message that turned the world upside down. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. What did Jesus say on one occasion when he was arguing with the Jews? He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." John chapter 5, verse 24. Again, read it for yourselves. "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." The person who truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and accepts his testimony and believes that he is the Son of God who has suffered and died but rose again, that person who truly takes him to be their Lord and Savior has eternal life now. We don't wait until eternity. We don't wait until we die. The Christian has eternal life now. That's what the Lord Jesus says. "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Do we realize, friends, that the Bible would teach us that by nature we are under the condemnation of God now? Let me read a verse to you from John chapter 3, verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." There we are told that even now as we walk about, if we are not in Christ, if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus, we are told that the wrath of God abides upon us. How can this wrath be removed? How can this condemnation be removed? The only way this condemnation can be removed is when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. That's why we're here. We're here to tell you about him. We're here to tell you about a glorious person, a person who has done something that no other individual could possibly do. He has dealt with our greatest problem. Our greatest problem is our relationship with God. That relationship is broken because of sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with sin and those who call upon him. Sir. Okay, no problem. Okay. The Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with our greatest problem. Our problem is the relationship between God and man has been broken. There's a tremendous gulf. There's a chasm. There should be a harmonious relationship. God is our Creator, but because of our sins, that relationship has been broken. He did. Don't, sir, please. Please do not. Sir? Sir?
God
bless you,
mate. You say God bless you.
Thank you.
We are people.
Yeah, we are the people, but aren't we?
What's happening?
We're out speaking about Jesus Christ. That's what's happening.
We all went to Catholic school.
And what does that mean?
That we all appreciate that.
God bless you all. To the question,
what does Jesus Christ mean to you then?
Church and believing in something, because a lot of people need people to believe in.
But are you going to heaven?
I mean, I'd hope so, but I don't know. I hope so.
Well, you can know.
I would like to think so. I go to church every Sunday, so I mean.
Do you?
Yeah.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life.
Yes.
If you truly believe in Jesus, yes, you have it now.
I do believe in Jesus.
Yeah, but the devil believes in Jesus.
Fuck the devil. We don't like the devil. No one likes the devil.
Mate,
do you like the
devil?
Exactly.
Mate, fuck the devil.
We don't like the devil. We support Celtic.
Mate, fuck the devil.
Like
for assembly.
You know, the Bible says something to young people.
Oh,
remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now's the time to seek the Lord, friends. Now's the time when you're young. Now's the time to seek Him. Youth passes very, very quickly. I know. I'm talking to everyone. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. That's my heart, sir, by the way.
YCB.
Thank you.
YDP. YDP.
What's happening? We're preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's happening.
Yes. Up there, ah.
Up there.
Free church.
The Bible tells us, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Friends, have you had your sins forgiven? Have you had your sins forgiven? That's what matters. You'll only be in heaven if your sins are forgiven. Who can forgive your sins? Only Jesus Christ can forgive your sins. Only Him. No Pope, no priest, no archangel, no minister of the gospel, no Muhammad, no Confucius, no other religion, no religious person. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone has power and authority to forgive sins. Why is this so? It is so because He is the one who has suffered and died. He is the one who has dealt with our greatest need and greatest problem. What is our problem? What is our need? Our problem is that our relationship with God has been broken. Why is it broken? It was broken because of sin. When was it broken? It was broken when our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned. And ever since that time, sin has come into our existence. And sin has affected us. It's affected old people, young people, educated people, rich people. It doesn't matter the color of our skin. It doesn't matter the language we speak. It matters not. Sin has affected all of us. And the only way that this can be rectified is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. That's why we are proclaiming Him to you this afternoon. We're not proclaiming rules and regulations. We're proclaiming this glorious person, this one who suffered, and this one who died as a substitute in the room and in the place of sinners. If you think you're going to go to heaven, the only way you'll find yourself in heaven is to be found in Christ. To be found in Christ. It doesn't matter how many churches you go to. It doesn't matter how many masses you attend. You'll never be saved unless you have Christ as your Savior. You'll never be saved unless He has forgiven your sins. You'll never be saved unless you repent and believe the gospel. You'll never be saved unless you're born again by the Spirit of God. And the only way this can happen is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we proclaim Him. That's why we're here from Partick Free Church of Scotland continuing. We're out here to tell you about this wonderful and this glorious person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to draw our time to a close, but before we do, we want to say something about that terrible day that's coming. A terrible day for us all. An awesome day. What is that day? It's Judgment Day. Ah, people laugh. There's no such thing as Judgment Day. But there is, actually. And what's more, you actually know about it. It's in your conscience. You know the day will come. The Apostle Paul said, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." How will you fare on that day? How will you fare on that day when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? What sentence will you receive? He will either say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or He will say to you, "Depart from me, ye cursed." How will you fare on that day? The only way that you can fare well is to be found in Christ, to have Him as your Lord and Savior. That's the only way. That's why we tell you, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Leave them, gents. They're all right. Leave them. Okay. There's no problem. We're fine. We're happy. No problem. We want to tell them as well as we want to tell everyone else.
We're listening, brother.
Good. I'm glad it. I wish someone told me when I was your age. You know, I wasn't always like this. You know that?
Preach it. Keep going. Preach
yeah.
it, sir.
Okay.
What did you do when you were our age?
I'm not going to tell you what I did at my age.
Oh!
No, I'm not going to tell you.
Tell me. Many on. Many on, mate.
No.
Tell the people.
No.
Wait. No, can I ask you a question?
You can ask me.
Right. Sex before marriage.
What do I think about it?
Yeah, do you think you should? Or not?
What does the seventh commandment say?
Fuck knows, mate.
Let me refresh your memory, because you know it. It's in your heart.
I'm a prodigy, so what's the plan there?
The plan is, he's asked me about sex before marriage.
No, but I'm a prodigy, so what's the script?
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not.
Thou shalt not.
What if you're a prodigy, but?
YDP, but, so, keep on.
Well, what does a Protestant mean?
I'm a Protestant against the religion.